Yes, chapter 1. Yeah, we are reading from Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 11. Hitva nirvidyamananam Icchatamakuto bhayam Yoginam nipanirnitam Hare nama nukirtanam Eta nirvidya mananam Ichatam akuto bhayam Yoginam nipanirnitam Hare nama nukirtanam Eta nirvidya mananam Ichatam akuto bhayam Yoginam nipanirnitam Hare nama nukirtanam Etanirvidyamananam Icchatam akuto bhayam Yoginam nipanirmitam Hare nama nukirtanam Etanirvidyamananam Icchatam akuto bhayam Yoginam nipanirmitam Hare namanukirtanam Etanirvidyamananam Icchatam akuto bhayam Yoginam nipanirnitam Hare namanukirtanam Mataji Etanirvidyamananam Icchatam akuto bhayam Yoginam nipanirnitam Hare namanukirtanam Etat, it is, nirvidyamananam, of those who are completely free from all material desires. Icchatam, of those who are desirous of all sorts of material enjoyment. Akuta bhayam, free from all doubts and fear. Yoginam, of all who are self-satisfied. Nipa, O King, Ninitam, decided truth. Hare, of the Lord, Shri Krishna. Nama, holy name. Anu, after someone always. Kirtanam, chanting. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Purport. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord Shri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities, and if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. In this verse, Sri Shukdev Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on, and thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Shukdev Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitive workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs that chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done, and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. The second offense is to see the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is a proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names. But that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others, because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name. There are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshipper, and therefore think his holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures, it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with the hope that his method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord, even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of oneself only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine. But the factual effect of chanting the holy name is to become free from such misconceptions. Om Ajnan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshadvani. So in this extraordinary verse, an extraordinary purport, you have 18,000 verses of the Bhagavatam. Several times we hear that this is the most important verse. I'm sure they're all the most important. You can have many most importants, but this verse is also perhaps right up there because it summarizes everything that we need to know in our spiritual life. And the foundation, the backbone of our lives is the chanting of the holy name. And since it's a daily activity, it's an activity which, when we say daily means, let's say if we have started chanting at the age of 20 and we have got 50 years lifespan, we have perhaps 18,000 days. 18,000 means there's no 17,999 days. We have to chant for 18,000 days. Very few activities may be of that nature. And it's also not the number of days only. The idea is not that we, in our lifespan, we just kind of manage to do a certain quota that if I fulfill so many lakhs of names or so many crores, I'm done. It's not like scaling Mount Everest and then, you have Dhavalgiri at 13,000 or something and then there's Mount K2 at 28,000, and so therefore you're progressing. It is actually the qualitative aspect is as important, perhaps even more important, So that is why Prabhupada recommended that there should be, he was very compassionate, because his Guru Maharaj had asked, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj actually required his disciples to chant 64 rounds. And when Srila Prabhupada mentioned this to his new disciples, fledgling disciples, they literally fell out of their chair, or maybe they were sitting on the ground, they fainted. 64, they protested, Swamiji, it will be, we'll chant the whole day practically. They said, okay, 16 rounds. Oh, they said 32 rounds. Again, they were saying, Swamiji, 32 is too much. So, okay, 16 rounds, but no less. So that is, 16 is, which takes about 2 hours, but also as we hear how Prabhupada has expanded so well in the purport, it is the qualitative aspect of chanting. First of all, attentively, but also not creating offenses on the chanting. And these offenses, therefore, all the temples all over the world, and in Radha Gopinath Mandir also, the 10 offenses are chanted every day. Just in the hope that we remember, some things stick in our mind. So our life has to be dovetailed to see how we can improve our qualitative aspect, and as is very nicely mentioned in Prabhupada's purport, that there are ways to know whether we are making progress or not. So chanting of the holy name is the you can say the all encompassing, the chief means of progress. And it's the chief means that is really, Prabhupada said, if we don't get any temples, if we don't get any money, if we don't get any facilities, it is okay. If we just need two things, one is the holy name and the other is the association of devotees. These are the only two requirements, and neither of these two require any paraphernalia, nor do they require any kind of good birth, good family. There are no special requirements. There is no issue of caste or class or education or gender. It is for everyone. Wherever we are, whoever we are, all that we need is to be sincere in attempting that. And it is also said in our shastras that if we chant without offenses, then Krishna personally appears on the tongue of the chanter. And for those who need a scriptural reference to this also, as we constantly said, that this actually appears in the Padma Purana, in the conversation between Lord Brahma and Narad Muni. So Narad Muni is asking his father and guru, his spiritual guru, that this is just at the beginning of Kali Yuga. And this comes also in the Kali Santana and Upanishad, that what is the hope, for the people who are now going to be in Kali Yuga, because Kali Yuga is the age of darkness, quarrel and hypocrisy. So Lord Brahma says that the real secret is in the Vedic scriptures. The only recommended process is chanting the 16 names, 32 syllables, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So for the fallen souls of the Kali Yuga, this is the only way to counteract the destructive influence of Kali Yuga. There's also a relationship between devotional service and chanting of the holy names. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you can know the first-class devotee by someone who is, by seeing other people who just see this devotee, they feel like chanting the holy names. Just by such an effect. So our devotional service, the quality of a devotional service, can be gauged by the attractiveness of the holy name that comes to others just by seeing the devotee. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was such a first-class Vaishnava all over the world. We know how just by after him, tens of millions of people have taken to the chanting. But every time a public person sees this, they just say, Hare Krishna wala is Hare Krishna. So they not only say Hare Krishna, but they recognize with the holy name. And Krishna is non-different from his holy name. So that means they are, and Prabhupada was always pleased if anyone speaks the name of Krishna. Even if in a negative form, but Prabhupada would still consider that as at least as a good beginning. once in Australia when he had just started, and in Australia they had a very big, very good beginning because it was one of the most flourishing centers at that time. Within the first few years of going to Australia, they were in 6 different places. And in Melbourne once, when Prabhupada appeared, then the reporters were very aggressive, as they were in most cases, but they were, and then the next day the article in the newspaper also was quite negative. It was about criticizing various aspects of the devotees. So the devotees were a bit disturbed, and they came to Prabhupada and showed him the article and said, Prabhupada, we're doing all this and still, they're saying such wrong things and nasty things. So they read out the article, and Prabhupada was, he took a different tack. He said, how many times has the word Hare Krishna or Krishna come? Then they counted and mentioned that, so he said, that's a success. That means they are also saying Krishna's name. So he never bothered about the anything else, except, of course, it is important that we certainly try to represent properly, but that is not in our control always. But Prabhupada was such a visionary and had such faith in the holy name, and as he demonstrated by going to the US, just on the strength of the holy name, that it can be miraculous, and who knows, we don't know when, but the spiritual progress, spiritual path has begun. So just like we have in the case of Prasad, Prabhupada had so much faith in Prasad, that is why he used to keep a jar of gulab jambus also on his table. Anyone who would come, he would just give. Sometimes they were suited, booted, but still they can't say no, and they would have to take the sticky, gooey, falling on their suit and tie. But Prabhupada had so much faith in that. It was very tasty, of course. They almost all appreciated it. But he knew that they don't know, but, the process has begun. Then whether it takes how much time to fructify, to manifest, that is not, that is in between Krishna and the person. But the pure devotee is the transcendental via media. So same way in the holy name, Prabhupada had so much faith that if the person has spoken the word, even in anger, just like in Ajamil's story, we know how at the last stage, because he had a lot of pious activities in the first 20 odd years of his life, but still he got another chance just by reciting his grandson's name, Narayan. So Srila Prabhupada would always emphasize that in whatever way we bring up the name of Krishna, it has a beginning. But this is for those who may be negative, though they may be ignorant. But for those like us who have some understanding of the scriptures or some understanding of the importance of the holy name, it goes much beyond that. So therefore, it is important that we know. While we know in one sense, at one level we know chanting is so important, but when it appears in Srimad Bhagavatam and we hear often in classes, the objective is that, it's a matter, this movement is ultimately a matter of realizations for us. And something which we are seeing every day, we're doing every day, we may be hearing every day, but sometime we will completely take it in a different, really actually going to the depth, and we don't know when that comes. Maybe we are going a little bit deeper, we don't know, because it depends also on our attachment to our external world. So that's why it is very important that we do always go into the depth of understanding. And if you see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ultimately he has spoken personally only 8 verses of the Shikshastra. All the others were instructions given through the 6 Goswamis and other followers. And in that also, there is so much of importance on the chanting of the holy name, because the very first verse, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadhavagni Nirvapanam, Shriya Kairava Chandrika Vitaram, Vadu Jivanam, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, Pratipadam, Punnavatasvadam, Sarvatmas Napanam Param Vijayate, Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So, why is not a coincidence that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the very first verse that he comes with also, is laying the foundation of for anybody to, for any living entity, to any human being to take to the holy name. So if we just briefly and hear from what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said in his purport to the Shikshashtaka, and he mentions there are 7 transcendental results. So if you know the effects of the holy name, then that is it's something will stick in our minds, and at least on a, which is on a daily activity, we may would be able to motivate ourselves to take it more seriously. So Cheta Darpana Marjanam means that all our anarthas get wiped out. We have so many anarthas in so many millions of years. And just by reciting the holy name as offensively as possible, sincerely struggling to remember the Lord, the words, because Marjanam is the mirror, so the mirror of our consciousness, really all the dust that is accumulated for many years, or many lifetimes maybe, that slowly gets wiped out, and then gradually the purification process starts. So Cheto Darpana Marjanam, then Bhava Maha Dhava Ni Nirvapanam, it invokes all auspiciousness in our lives by extinguishing the blazing fire, Dhava Agni, of material existence. Because we may or may not recognize, sometimes we feel that it is we are in deep trouble or we are in great anxiety, then we actually immediately take to these words. But actually the fact is that the blazing fire of material existence is all around us all the time. Why? Because it is keeping us away from the cool rays of the Krishna conscious name and the spiritual world. Shriya Kairava Chandrika Vitaram. That means that this also brings the auspiciousness in our lives. Kairava is the white lotus, and as the white lotus is the Chandrika is the moon. So the moon rays, moonbeams, as the white lotus is blossoming in the under the moonbeams, the same way by chanting the holy names, a genuine heart, which actually will be benefited. Vidyavadu Jivanam. Vidya means a supreme knowledge. Supreme knowledge is considered to be the Mahabhava of Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is the Vadhu, that is the consort or bride of Lord Krishna, is the original consort of Lord Krishna. And Jivanam is the life and soul. So for Radharani, the life and soul is Krishna, and Krishna is not different from his holy name. So this knowledge of the supreme knowledge of the transcendental holy names is actually, so the holy name is considered to be Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, that means that when the Jiva takes to the shelter of the Anand Krishna, increasing, ever-increasing or ever-expanding, that is Vardhanam, by chanting this, transcendental bliss, which is the ocean of bliss, that is Anandam Buddhi. Anandam Buddhi is the ocean of bliss that will keep on increasing when we continue to chant the holy names. Then Pratipadam Purna Vitasadam. Pratipadam means at every step, and Purna Amrita Swadhanam. That means the living entity or the Jiva is fully relishing the holy name as it purifies itself, and then relishes the nectar in names of Krishna, and then slowly starts realizing also the bliss of seva in all the forms. So, and then lastly, Sarvatma Snapanam. The seventh is Sarvatma Snapanam, means to cleanse, and Sarvatma is all the various selfish desires that we have. So ultimately the cleansing process, as we said, that the mirror holds our consciousness, and we see the dust of the of all the accumulated dust of all these many years or many lifetimes. Gradually, if we consistently chant the holy names, and slowly this starts cleaning, and then eventually this the living entity starts getting purified, internally and externally. So, if we are, if we do not, it is said that this is a sure shot way. I mean, there is no question. It is the proven fact. It is devotees in through the ages have also been benefited from that, and they have transformed their lives. There are so many stories. Haridas Thakur, how he transformed the prostitute who had come to, in fact, tried on the. Ramchandra Khan had actually sent her, but Haridas Thakur knew everything, but he transformed her just because she sincerely followed him. So there are many, many instances of that. So therefore, in our lives also, when we see that there is if we are not getting any taste, or if the effects are very, very slow over a long time also, it clearly means that there are some offenses which are there. And Prabhupada has already recited about the 10 offenses. So we won't go into the details of all the 10, but we just take one. But ultimately, it's very important that we introspect and see which offense it could be. We just take the first one, because which is perhaps the one maybe which is most frequently occurring, that is to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name. Blaspheme means criticizing. So, first we have to ask who's a sadhu. You know, like when we say of a devotee, so sadhu is not someone who has a beard, right? That's not, nowadays I think then we'll have many more sadhus than we ever had, because that is a trend. So the principal quality is one who is totally surrendered to Krishna. And then the secondary qualities are those which are secondary in the sense that which are the follow-up qualities of merciful, tolerance, forgiveness, kindness. But the principal quality is anyone who is totally surrendered to the Lord, fully surrendered. So what happens is that the offense of criticizing could be in many forms. It is said that we could be offending because we may be questioning the social background. We may be talking about persons coming from such a low background, this caste or this class. And then for Indians, it may also be that we look at Western devotees and Vaishnavas and say that, oh, they are all Mlechas and Yavanas and so on. So this external material consideration is very dangerous. So this is one. Then even that is on social statuses. Criticizing on past sins also, because everyone has, we are all Jivatmas, and by the time we come to the movement, fortunately, we may have committed many past sins or faults. So to look at that or to criticize somebody for their past sins is very offensive. Also, the unintentional sins, because sometimes there is a premeditated, non-premeditated. It is not calculated, and it happens accidentally. It's between Krishna and the Jivatma, or the Jivatma, this Jiva and his Guru, or the other Vaishnavas. If we are not generally connected to it, we definitely, by negatively speaking about it, it would be affecting our spiritual life. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says also that usually these offenses of criticizing generally happen because of asat sangha. That means associating having the wrong association. And this is where we have to be very careful when you examine, because most of us don't stay in the temple, and we also have so many associations of all sorts. So we need to be very careful on that, as to especially the association like of illicit sex, or having close association with people who are attached to that kind of sensual activities, that would be very dangerous. So we may also wonder that, well, how is it practical? Because we have to associate. So association doesn't, in the context of when we talk of association of devotees or association of bad people or people who may affect us, we are talking of wherever we are, that relationship is influencing us. That relationship which we are developing, which is affecting our heart, We may be in awe of somebody, we are admiring some people, we are imbibing their qualities or their values or what they say because we are very impressed with them, and that is a lot to be impressed with superficially. So that is what we think. Otherwise, everyone is associating with colleagues. We have so many people, our neighbors, our families. So we have various types of that. So we are not talking of a general kind of linkage. We are talking of what affects us is what influences us is which could deviate us from our gradually is something which really affects us. Like for instance, people who are very affected with movies or with sports. If it is so deeply imbibed, most of us have come through that, and we do have that. You know, we may have an opinion. We may be having some kind of, I would say, at least at some level, view or some. But if we have to introspect and see that whether we are affected by it, and actually, we may not be aware of it. So our maybe the way we dress, the way we speak, our thinking also, we may be very impressed with someone. Because today, when we talk of this quarrel, age of Kali being an age of quarrel and hypocrisy, hypocrisy means that we put a front which is not actually the case. You know, it is something which gives us a impression of something which is meant to impress. And it is meant for us to forget what is the substance, let's just look at the style. So this is the whole objective of the external world today, where we never had maybe 50, 60 years ago, what today some of the most powerful people would be those who have very strong public relations, practice companies managing them. And that is a standard requirement. Why? Because then they're told what to speak, whom to speak, when to speak, whom to meet, where to be seen. And then when that appears into us, you know, we are so impressed. We see somebody coming and cutting a ribbon for a cancer hospital, somebody giving some, you know, putting a hand on some child in a hospital, or, you know, giving some free clothes. So naturally it moves our heart when we see that this is a kind act. But in most cases, especially if it's a famous person, almost always, I think it will be rare, very, very rare, where it will be spontaneous. It will always be premeditated. It has a certain value. It is a creation of an image. And that image is meant to impress. And where there is money, there is a lot of powerful connections also. So therefore, it's easy to get influence. So therefore, that is the association we need to be very wary of. And even within our relatives, our friends, it's not that we have to think we are superior. We are not superior, but we are fortunate. We are very fortunate that we have been in touch with this, but we have to protect our good fortune. But the danger is that we may start thinking that just because we are in touch with a perfect philosophy, we are in touch with what Lord Krishna himself has spoken and what his devotees have spoken about his pastimes, etc., sometimes that distinction gets blurred and we feel that we are also in the, you know, that we are actually, somehow the credit also comes to us and we are also part of that leela, or somehow we are, you know, we are something special. My favorite phrase of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, that things, ISKCON devotees think they are God's gift to mankind. So sometimes we feel that we are something special. But actually, if we guard against that, and then we see that we have been protected, so then we have to protect it, so we need to know what's happening. But we have to, but at the same time, we don't be judgmental, because who knows? Externally, we can't really judge. We just have to be careful. So this is critical on our part. You know, it is not like I don't do anything. I have to be aware. I have to concentrate on myself. We don't need to criticize. But we need to be protective of whatever struggles. We know how much struggles we have because we have, you know, today it's like, you know, today, I mean, you just walk on the road with the rain and every step you don't know when you may slide or you may just, you know, fall over because of the pothole, right? So it's like practically every step here in our spiritual life, we are in danger. So we have to concentrate on ourselves and look at the positive side. Where can we get the inspiration? So that's what is important. So there are atheists or the people who don't believe. Like today we have very, very powerful people. Some of the most, the richest people in the world who are actually very popular, some of them are. Because they are highly intellectual, very brilliant. But then they are also atheists. They officially call themselves atheists. So then we have to take everything and say that we can admire that Krishna has given such brilliance. It's not out of envy. When we are protective, we are not, but we can see, even among our colleagues, sometimes we may see that somebody has some special traits, very intellectual or very skillful, and it is something which we can admire and see that how this is Krishna's, how many varieties he gives. Everything, knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness comes from him, all the skills come from him. So we can certainly admire that and see that and hope that the person, and we have seen people can change any time. Like we also were also in that category. But it doesn't, avoid the fact that we need to protect ourselves. And also, special word on the technology, because today's technology age, somehow it gives the impression that, you know, it has made things easier. But at the same time, there are dangers of getting addicted to various aspects of technology coming in the form of, because they're very simplified and user-friendly, so therefore more and more people are attracted to it. And therefore, those are the things which gradually, we may think it's an innocent toy kind of thing, and well, it may keep me away, but many studies have shown, independent studies, and that there's a growing worry in all over the world, but then it's a voice which is heard by, which is felt by many, many people, but they don't have the influence to counteract the very powerful people. I mean, for instance, just one company, the richest company in the world, their market capitalization is as large as India's GDP. One company. Now you can imagine the power that can be, you know, they only meet prime ministers, presidents, the chief executive meets them. So the influence that can have is extraordinary. Right? So, you know, therefore, other people who are affected will not speak. But we have to use our intelligence, we read, we understand the danger. So the surveys are showing also that people, not just children, even adults, which is even a greater cause of worry, that, you know, they somehow, actually it's an addiction. And then now they have de-addiction centers, just like they have for alcohol and gambling, is also for de-addiction for getting away from, hooked onto social media. So, it's a dangerous world in that sense. Not necessarily that we may be having a security guard outside. That protects us. But do we have a security guard to protect our own spiritual life? That's what we need to put. And that is association and the chanting. And to do that, so we have to be intelligent, and also Krishna gives us that maturity to understand how we live in this world, but not of this world. We don't belong to this world. But we, at the same time, we have another world which is our, where we belong. And there's another world where we have to, there may be an overlap, but there's another world which we have to do our responsibilities. Because we all have to discharge all our responsibilities. And we will do it, but where do we belong? Where we actually let the, you know, where we are affected by views, where we take consultations for the most critical aspects of our life, where we share our innermost thoughts or worries, where we spend our time, where we would like to serve them, help them. And at the other side, we do it as a responsibility, as a duty. We have a professional responsibility. And I'd like to end by just bringing up, also reminding, when you're talking of the criticality of chanting and the effects of how it happens, we talked about Srila Prabhupada, and we just take a moment to see when Prabhupada went to the West. Right? When he went, we know he went in 1965, September 65 he reached. So on the day he reached, September 17, 1965, he reached the Boston Harbor. He used to maintain a diary. And on that day, the last day before reaching, you know, it's fascinating to see what was his thoughts. Because we now know, in retrospect, what happened in the 12 years that he was there, 108 temples, thousands of devotees, millions of people, tens of millions of people heard the holy name, etc. That happened later. But Prabhupada was not aware of that. Prabhupada went there only to serve his spiritual master, and he said, so the entry that he put in on that day, he says, O Lord, how will I make them, I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not reading the whole thing, but O Lord, how will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? My Lord, I'm praying for your mercy. I have no devotion nor any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name. This is the punchline, you can say, that Prabhupada went there with that strong faith in the holy name. And then as we saw, that if people ask that, how can an elderly Swami, never ever having gone in a plane, forget about going to America, that is 10,000 kilometers away, and then going to a strange land, a strange people, never met any of them, has no facilities, no support, nothing. He has no idea at all, not one person he knows. How did he manage to make this change happen? And that's what he did. So when he landed, he said, and then what did he do? He set about, all he did was initially, especially in the first 9 months before he found the matchless gift. Actually, those 9 months are the most challenging. Between September 65 and June of 66, when he established the matchless gift. Even then, it was just a start. But at least that time he got devotees like Mukund Maharaj, Michael Grant and Hayagiri Prabhu and others. But those 9 months he changed 6 residences, he was in 2 lofts, he was with the Butler, Pennsylvania for a month, and he was also with yoga teacher, and then he was finally in the Bowery, and then he came to the Master's Gift. And then he was in so much danger. But all through, what he did is he tried to establish that he somehow got the connection of the people through the chanting. He got them to chant, and he tried to make them, he started his Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes. After he came to, when he changed in the same building in the studio from third to the fifth to the third floor, he started that, and then he moved to the Bowery, and then he continued that Monday, Wednesday, Friday, where it was basically chanting and then speaking on Bhagavad Gita. And that he continued when he went to the Matchless Gift, when they opened it in June of 66. And Prabhupada would, all he would do is just chant, and then he didn't have any money also. So he would have an apple and he would just slice it and then cut it, and devotees, when they recall it, even that, first of all, his room was perhaps, maybe 10 by 10, and there was no attached toilet also, at least in the studio apartment, so, and then such people were living there, completely drunk, filthy, young youth hippies, vomit everywhere on the streets, drunks lying on the street, and Prabhupada in a very, he looked also from another world. He looked so calm, peaceful, clean. Just people were fascinated. Some of them who went, they just said, what is he doing here? There's nobody below 30 here. There's nobody who is not in drugs. And here is this, Swami, with a stick, and he would just walk there. That was his fierce determination to just somehow give the holy name. So he just whatever he said, almost they couldn't even understand what he was saying. But somehow they got the holy name chanting, and then they started in their own way. They liked the mood. So they used to think it is a very mystical thing, very different kind of experience, unique experience. And in fact, Allen Ginsberg was one of the most famous poets of the time. He was the one who then helped Prabhupada, because when he had already been searching for, he had come across the holy name, and when he met Prabhupada, he was amazed that there's a connection to the holy name. He had just heard the Mahamantra, but he didn't know anything about the background. But even after hearing that, they didn't give up their drugs, many of them. They connected it. And Allen Ginsberg, later when they had the Avalon Ball in San Francisco, the devotees had created that iconic event, which really changed the picture of the San Francisco at that time. It became a talking point because thousands of people came. So when Allen Ginsberg introduced the Mahamantra, even then, he very strongly recommended, he says, we gave the background that how Swamiji came from the West and we found him. And it helped. But then he said, I recommend it as a community service. He said, I recommend it as a community service because for those of you who are in drugs, this is a very nice way to come down, to stabilize So he didn't tell them not to join. I recommend that you take it because it's very good. It will help you to stabilize when you come down from a high of the drugs. You know, when you go in drugs, you're really in a different artificially elevated thinking. And then you come down, crash down, and you're in depression. So he said, this will help you in your landing of your come back to the normal world. So even then, so Prabhupada kept on the chanting, and then he slowly, the devotees who were helping him, they took it more seriously, and then they brought in their own instruments. It was not just, Prabhupada had those bongo-like drums, the mridang came much later. That was all, and he had taken his 3-inch kartal, 3-inch diameter kartal, small ones. So he was just playing. So he was the same, whether he was in Vrindavan, in Radha Dham of the temple, he was in the Bavari, and then later on when he was in Los Angeles. So whether he had 3 drunks sitting in front of him, or whether he had 5,000 people or 10,000 people in Cross Maidan, he was doing this as his seva, but his heart belonged to his guru and Krishna. He was completely stable. And then he just, so devotees were then slowly coming to him. So they brought their own instruments also. Some brought various drums and guitar and tambura and so on. Some brought very unconventional. If you read, soda bottles, you have those caps. So many of them have strung the caps, passing a hole in there, and then they just play with some sticks, bring all kinds of, So they were all serious about it. Prabhupada never corrected them. He just encouraged them. He said, let them come, let them come. And if you see some of the old videos, it's really, I recommend if you can, there are many videos on Satya Gopinath Prabhu will have them. They are fascinating, especially this matchless gift. They're getting very nicely improved in quality further by Yadubara Prabhu's amazing service. But even then you can see the kind of, appearances, the kind of dress when they're trooping out, when they started the Harinam on the road for the first time. Some of them, it was a big event when somebody started wearing a dhoti. So dhoti is like above the knees, practically. But it didn't matter, They just, in all seriousness, some were, and people used to make fun of them. I mean, all kinds of remarks would other people would make, very derogatory, nasty ones. And they didn't care. But this was what actually attracted them. It was primarily the holy name. And Prabhupada took them to Tompkins Square Park. So, it was like a Pied Piper leading, his flock. And the newspapers also would very remark in that way, that here Swami and his flock have gone and, they have now taken by storm. And Prabhupada would sit under a tree and then start. And then most people would come by fascination because they had not seen anything. Suddenly, they're looking in a normal American suburb of America and in a garden and under a tree, and then here comes the Swami, sits there, he brings out some strange looking kartal, and then ching, 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 starts, and the same melody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That was the only melody constantly. And people came by the tens, then by the hundreds, and then Prabhupada would only speak a little bit after the kirtan in the garden, then you tell them, come to the Sunday feast program. And then Prasad would be there for whoever came. And he initially for several months, he was the only one cooking. Nobody even bothered. He cooked for 150 people, 200 people. Many came just for, they didn't have the etiquette. They didn't know what a Swami was. They didn't know that they should do anything to help. They would just come, eat and go away, leave their plates also. Prabhupada would serve them, Prabhupada would clean. Yamuna Mataji mentions that at times he would cook 200 chapatis. And he was an expert cook. 200 chapatis, dal, sabji, and they had never tasted anything like this. So prasad and chanting were the two which really brought in. So that gradually increased, and then he expanded it into the streets, Harinam, and then also in San Francisco, the Avalon Ball which I talked of, that became a big thing. And then within 3 years, they went to London, and then we know the rest was history because the Beatles came on. And if you don't know what the Beatles was, there's no way to describe, perhaps there's no other, anybody had such effect on anyone, any group had any effect on any other, on the world, even now, perhaps. It could be perhaps rolling, we can say, some of the biggest new musicians of the US, like Beyonce, and you take Virat Kohli, and take perhaps Shah Rukh Khan combined, probably that is the effect which Beatles had. It is crazy. If you've seen, if you read books about it, that I was growing up, so I'm fully aware, if they land in an airport, 50,000 people are there to see them. 50,000 people. And these are Western kids, and they break the barriers and run onto the tarmac. I mean, it was very scary. And these people would run back into the plane. They can't even come out. So that's the kind of craze there is. And they took to Krishna consciousness. I mean, they took to Mahamantra chanting. George Harrison actually took to Krishna consciousness. And they created a Beatle, the song. They helped the devotees to prepare the record, which became the number one seller for many, many weeks. So we can see that Prabhupada was emphasizing on the chanting. Krishna empowered him. And how it changed people. Thousands became millions, and now today, you know, tens of millions heard the Maha Mantra. So we can understand from that which people, at what corner of the world, which city, what have they, and how they benefited, we don't know, because the world is far, far beyond what we can see. But we do know that we have got it here, right here, on a platter, practically. I mean, we've not done anything, we don't know, nobody knows why they got that benefit. So it is our good fortune, which we need to protect, and we need to then see that it is not just that I've got the name, how do I constantly struggle to see how we can improve this further and further. And then there are many ways of improving. When we concentrate, there are many devotees who have spoken about it. If you need, I would recommend, can Mahamantra Prabhu, Mahatma Prabhu, he's a Prabhupada disciple. You can actually Google and see his affirmations, which are very useful. This is one way. There are many others, because he has concentrated on giving lectures on that. So variety of ways. It is up to us. Ultimately, the beauty is that Krishna consciousness is out of our choice. So proactive approach of whatever we see, never being satisfied, always knowing our weaknesses, appreciating other people's progress, and trying to, it's like in a class when you associate with people who are very studious, something will rub out on you. If you associate with the backbenchers, then your desire to study will go away. We've all experienced that. The same way here also, there are the people who study people who are trying to live a life, they're controlling their senses, they're selflessly helping others all over. It may be in our neighborhood. So if we associate with them in doing our responsibilities, it's not to run away. It is not to run away. We have to do our responsibility. But there is a way we do responsibility, but where does our heart belong? Our heart belongs to Radha Gopinath. Our heart belongs to our seniors, our guru. And to see that we can become a better instrument in their hands to propagate Srila Prabhupada's message and his service to the world, that is all that ISKCON is trying to do. That should be our real objective in this world. Everything else is something which is something which we have to continue doing it, but the dovetailing of our final goal should be to help Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, and in that, by being a better devotee, which means we have to concentrate on our chanting and our associating, our hearing, our sadhana, serving in best way that we can. So we'll end here. Hare Krishna. Sorry, I went over time today. Hare Thank you.